This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back in to Tide Talk Live. Stacy Blackwood, Jake Thomas. Jake, believe it or not, the Alabama Crimson Tide men's basketball team is headed to the Final Four. Cannot wait to dive into that conversation here tonight. Been a long time since we've been able to get out an episode together, but excited to do this one. How you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm doing great, Stacy. Family's doing great. Hope everybody had a great Easter weekend. First thing I can say is he is risen. Thank God, you know, for that. Yeah, man, excited about the run that the basketball team's on, and excited about being back tonight with you. And thanks for holding down the fort while in my absence.
No doubt about it. Yeah, good to hear that everybody's doing well. Cannot wait to meet the baby and see how she's growing. But if you're not already, guys, please like, share, and subscribe here on our YouTube channel. We're also free and available wherever you find your podcast. Part of the Believe Network. Jump in the comment section. Let us know your thoughts on this run by the Alabama men's basketball team. Would love to hear what everybody has to say about that as well. Jake, just speaking of that run, when you filled out your bracket a couple weeks ago, Jake, where did you see this team going? Because we didn't really have a chance to talk about that before the tournament started.
Honestly, I had them losing to St. Mary's, you know, in the second round. And, you know, I didn't want to do that, but I kind of – just the way the season has gone. I mean, Alabama's been pretty much in every game this year, but they could not seem like finish late in games, really bad turnovers in a situation, high-pressure situation. And the way St. Mary's has played throughout the year, I've seen – couple of their games, you know, sped run some of their games. They do like a half court, set. They slow tempo. That really affects with Alabama's, you know, tempo and their psyche. So I was like, man, St. Mary's may give us a challenge. And I had the second round, I had St. Mary's upsetting them.
Yeah, I was kind of torn between them making it to. I thought they'd win the first round game against Charleston. Right. I thought they'd get that win. The second game was kind of a toss-up for me, but I thought the max that this team could accomplish was reaching the Sweet 16 and being put out by probably North Carolina. But, yep. But Jake, somehow this team has strung together four straight wins after finishing the regular season and the SEC tournament, losing four out of their last six games. Mm-hmm. They've now won four games in a row, and they've reached the Final Four for the first time in program history. And the last two games, really, in particular, Jake, well, really, you can go back to that second round game against Grand Canyon where they just had to tough one out, Jake. It wasn't their type of game. Some of their better players were not at their best. But I think the story of the tournament for Alabama, I think there's two stories. One, Mark Sears is having the best season an Alabama basketball player has ever had. Just one right. specific season, he's having the best year a player's ever had in his in the program's history. And then two, the second storyline is the fact that in every game, somebody off the wall has kind of stepped up and made mm-hmm. plays, whether it was Mo Diabate, you know, in the last 6-8 minutes of that game against Grand Canyon, whether it was Grant Nelson just completely dominated North Carolina in that second half. Then you have the Clemson game, Jake, where both Jaren Stevenson and Nick Pringle just go off. Nick Pringle, just toughness and physicality, getting the offensive rebound. I think he drew 11 fouls in that game, made his free throws at a much higher rate than he's made all season right. long. Jaren Stevenson knocking down 5 3-pointers, really kept Alabama in the game in the first half. Just the fact that a different guy stepped up for Alabama shows the depth of this team that I'm not sure people outside of Alabama fans that really follow the program closely knew that this team had.
Yes, Stacey, that's one of the things I was going to bring up as well is, you know, last year we had Brandon Miller, and he was a superstar player. And it seemed like whenever times got tough, we just went to Brandon Miller, you know, and we was like, man, we got to have a play here. And, I mean, for the most part, he did it. But late in the season and in tournament time, that kind of hurt because you saw what San Diego State did. You know, they just kind of pressured Brandon Miller, and that was it, you know. We really had no answer after that. We had great role players, but nobody really took that next step and was the second catalyst on that team or a third scorer option. This year's team is more team oriented. You know, Mark Sears is a great player, but you know, when he's having an off night, like he went 0-for-12, you know, shooting, I think, you know, and against Clemson or North Carolina, one of the two. And then you had the other guys step up. You had, like you said, Rylan Griffin stepped up. You have Grant Nelson has stepped up. Somebody, like you said, has stepped up in the situation. And then when Mark Sears gets going, then that's when the team gets going. And then they usually just pull away in the second half. Another thing I really want to say real quick, Stacey, is they. I think I have heard the team and Aaron Estrada talk about it as well. But this is a lot of guys. This is their last game. Every game that they approach is their last game. So they got that mentality. Is like, you know, if we go in here and we have a loser's mentality, we're going to lose this game. And this has been the last time I'm going to be playing for the University of Alabama. So I think that mentality has helped them along the way as well.
Yeah, and I want to get to Coach Oates and what he means to this program here in a minute. But you mentioned the name Rylan Griffin. And, Jake, that dude has been so consistent throughout this tournament. I mean, you can count on him to knock down three or four threes every game in this tournament. And he just makes plays, and he kind of makes those clutch shots. You know, when Alabama needs a bucket, it seems like Rylan Griffin can get them a bucket from the three-point line. He's also done a tremendous job of defending the opposite team's best perimeter scorer. So kudos to Rylan Griffin. He has stepped up and become a leader on this team, not only with his play, but kind of the leadership that he displays, you know, just a toughness factor that he has. And I think when I just think about this team, Jake, it's the first word that comes to my mind is toughness. And I'm not sure in November that's the word we would have used to describe this team. But here in March, Jake, and now that we're into April and into the Final Four, I think the number one thing you can say about this team is they are tough. And I'm not just talking about a physicality tough. I'm talking about from a mindset standpoint, psychologically, that they're tough, Jake. And they just find a way to make the plays that you have to make. And that's what it's all about when you get to March Madness. And just kudos to this team for figuring out down the stretch. And I guess that's a good kind of segue into talking about what Nate Oates has done with his program, Jake. And I'll let you start with that, Jake, because it's really hard to put into words what Oates means to the Crimson Tide faithful.
You know, I'm going to go all the way back to the day he was hired, you know, and a lot of people was wanting, and myself included, there was a lot of big names out there. Rick Pitino was really, really heavily, you know, brought up. And you know, Greg Byrne just flies out to Buffalo, grabs this guy, and just flies him back. And in the middle of their flying the way back, he's like, here's your new, you know, head basketball coach. They're like, wow. And then you go back and see what he did at Buffalo. It's like, man, this dude, you know, he's legit. And the how he turned the program around so quickly is what is amazing. And I mean, he's been there, I think, 5 years now. And he has won, you know, a couple different SEC championships. He's won regular championships, you know, SEC championships. He's made it to at least a round of 16, Sweet 16 every single year, besides one, I think. He's been there. What he has done, I mean, before him, we was on the bubble every single, you know, watching like, oh my gosh, we're, you know, are we going to get in this year? And a lot of times we did. We made the NIT tournament and then get beat there.
Yeah.
now we don't have to worry about that. And now we have people, you know, other, you know, organizations or other universities who is like, keep an eye on it. I said, man, we want him. But Greg Byrne has made sure that he stays at Alabama for at least a little while longer with that massive buyout deal that I don't think anybody's going to touch right now for sure.
No, Jake, and you summed it up pretty well, Jake, the how quickly he's been able to turn this program from a consistent bubble watch team into a team that you're pretty much certain they're probably going to make it to the Sweet 16.
Yep.
And they're going to be right there in the thicket of in the SEC to either win the regular season or the conference tournament. He's won the conference tournament twice. He's won the regular season twice in the SEC. He's made the Sweet 16 at least three times now. Just now he's advanced to the Final Four. And you think about all the great teams that Alabama basketball's had in their history. And you could argue that as far from a historical standpoint, this is the second best program in the SEC behind Kentucky.
Right.
Now you could split some hairs and say, you know, well, LSU's been to four Final Fours, and they have. They've never won a champion. You know, so there's you could talk about other programs. Arkansas's got a national championship. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they hadn't really been in the SEC that long. So this is a historically good basketball program who for a very long time was, you know, middle of the road in the SEC on bubble watch. And now in year five of the Nate Oates era, they're playing in the Final Four with a chance to win the national championship. And, you know, it's just really phenomenal what Coach Oates has done, the fastest coach in program history to 100 wins. He's sitting at 117-63 right now. At Alabama. So just phenomenal, Jake. He's won almost 70% of his games in the SEC.
Golly. And the SEC is stacked right now.
Yeah. Since he's been in the SEC, nobody has a better SEC winning percentage. Nobody has more wins. Nobody's won more conference tournaments or regular season titles than Nate Oates has at Alabama. This dude is now the pinnacle of SEC college, SEC basketball coaches. And that includes Rick Barnes. That includes John Calipari. That includes Bruce Pearl. And so this guy has become, you could make the argument, he is a top five coach in college basketball, Jake. And if he was to go in this weekend and beat UConn and then maybe and play for the national championship, maybe even win it, mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's only 49 years old, who has at least, you know, another 20 years of coaching at minimum, probably.
Mm-hmm.
He could be setting up a phenomenal run of Alabama basketball. And like you said, you know, credit to Greg Byrne for locking him down, giving him a massive buyout and giving him, you know, a top five salary in college basketball, because that's what he deserves.
Yeah, I agree. And I really do think the arena's coming for him as well. You know, that's the next thing to get to cement his legacy and to get him to pretty much feel secure at Alabama, I feel like.
Yeah, and that arena thing will happen once NIL has kind of been taken care of.
Yep.
And it's not just kind of, you know, off the cuff the way it is now. So once NIL is taken care of, the money will be there for Coach Oates and the Crimson Tide to have that new arena, which they desperately need. But I just can't say enough about the job that Coach Oates has done, because he's not only changed the type of players that Alabama recruits, the type of system they run, but he's changed the mentality of this program. Mm-hmm. And it goes from his coaching staff to his players. I mean, dude, this guy has 10 new players and three new assistants from a Sweet 16 team who lost two first-round NBA draft picks,
mm-hmm.
who had the best, you know, regular season in program history, went 31-6. He's coming off all of that, and all he does is lead this team to the Final Four. Unbelievable.
Down here.
I mean, you're right. I mean, I think from a talent standpoint, it's probably a down year from what most seasons are going to be under Nate Oates. And I think, you know, they kind of lost Charles Bediako when they were not expecting that. When they recruited Noah Clowney, he was not supposed to be a one-and-done type dude.
Mm-hmm.
But he was. He turned out to be, you know, kind of a year or two ahead of where they thought he might be when they brought him into the program. So just it's crazy what Coach Oates has done for that basketball program, and just excited that he's locked down and he's locked in at Alabama, because he could build something really special in Tuscaloosa.
Absolutely, man. I'm excited. You know, there's a lot of the future's bright, I should say, for the basketball team. as long as Nate Oates is there. And I want to reiterate what you said. The style of basketball he has brought in, it's not a boring style. I mean, it is so fun to – I mean, once they get a defensive rebound, there's already three people streaking down the court. And it's just so fun because they can either get a layup real quick, they can dunk it, or they can get set up and then just have somebody open after moving the ball around where they make a three-pointer. I mean, it's just incredible to watch.
No doubt. I don't know if you saw the shot chart from the Clemson game, but it was a thing of beauty. It was a thing of beauty. It was all three-pointers and then a massive blob right under the goal.
No two-point shots whatsoever.
I mean, and look, I was talking – my dad's an old-school type guy, but he has come around to this – to Nate Oates style because we're sitting there watching the Purdue-Tennessee game yesterday, Jake, and Tennessee's taking a bunch of those – you know, 16-foot jump shots that are contested. And and my dad said, why would you take that shot? Why would you take that shot?
Right.
I mean, when you're taking a contested 16-foot jump shot, you're not really gaining anything even if you make it. Right. I mean, because you're just as likely to make a three-point shot and you're far more likely to make that layup at the rim. So it just it makes sense. And Coach Oates has just mastered on how to implement that style and get his players not only to execute that, but to be confident in it. Like, I mean, like Jared Stevenson's a perfect example of this.
Yeah.
This dude went through a freshman lull for a long time in the SEC, Jake. He struggled to hit shots. He struggled to defend. He just was not, I mean, he wasn't playing very good.
Right.
He was playing like a 17-year-old would against grown men. I mean, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the dude kept playing. He kept shooting. He even airballed two shots against Clemson. But you know what he done? He kept shooting, and he made five of eight.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that somebody made the joke that his first four, he went 2 of 4 on his first four three-pointers, and none of them touched the rim.
Yeah.
It was either nothing but net or airball.
Right.
So, but it's a testament to the confidence that Coach Oates has instilled in his players because they believe in what they're doing. They really believe it, and that's what makes them so good. And as we kind of look ahead to this UConn matchup in the semifinals, Jake, I really believe, Jake, that if anybody's going to beat UConn that's in the Final Four, it's Alabama because they present something that none of the other teams present, Jake. They have the ability, like you saw, to hit 15, 16 threes in a game, Jake. And if you can get that many points, if you can get – 40 to 45 points from the three-point line, you're going to be in any game. And you can maybe steal a game, even against a team as elite as UConn. So if Alabama can make those three-point shots, keep it tight, you never know what can happen.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. And you were talking about Nate Oates being a top-five coach. Dan Hurley is probably the best coach in college.
He's unreal, man, Jake. He's unreal.
He is. And I really like and respect him. He's got a good program there. But I agree, Stacey. And this is not being homers. I'm just stating the fact. The way Alabama has played defensively in the last couple of games, I mean, they stepped it up and started playing defense. I don't know. Grant Ellison said maybe it's just a good thing we started playing defense now. Yeah, it is. You know, I'm glad you are at this point in the season. Wish you would have done it back in December, but right now is where it's crucial. And they've been locked in on defense. Now, I think UConn has struggled behind the arc and in this tournament. I think they're shooting less than 30%. So, you know, if Alabama is making those shots and UConn's missing them, Alabama's got a great chance to win this game. And, you know, like you said, Stacey, if they're shutting down Mark Sears, we've got to have a secondary player, maybe two, to step up, maybe a Jaren Stevenson or a Rylan Griffin. Rotsell might come back and play in this game. If he does, that's going to be a big boost. I mean, we've been missing, you know, I think he's been averaging like 17 points a game or something. I mean, we've been missing that a little bit. So getting him back is going to probably free up somebody else because he's also a guy that can get hot real quick. So you got to pay attention to Mark Sears. You got to pay attention to Rotsell. And that's going to leave Griffin, Nelson, somebody open and one-on-one situation. And I believe, especially after that North Carolina game, Grant Nelson's going to win his one-on-one matchup 10 out of 10 times.
Well, and more specifically on this matchup with UConn, Jake, they have that 7'3" guy who is just a ridiculous rim protector.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm looking at this game and I'm Nate Oates, if that guy's in the game, I'm not really looking to score at the rim. I'm driving and dishing because you're not going to get over the top of him. And you may get lucky a time or two and he may foul you. But when he's in the game, I'm not looking to attack the rim to score.
Right.
I'm looking to attack the rim to kick the ball out. And that's where Reitzel becomes that much more important, because what that will allow you to do is play Grant Nelson at the five and have the your four guards in the game with Sears, Reitzel, Griffin, and Nelson. You know, those are four good shooters who I'm missing. I'm missing somebody else, but So you have Sears, Estrada, Griffin, and Reitzel at four guards, and then your five is Grant Nelson. You know, all five guys can shoot the three. That's going to draw the big guy away from the basket. So having Reitzel in this game is going to be huge, just from a spacing standpoint and kind of freeing up that paint from their rim protector. So if he can play, that's, and he's, you know, back to his old ways of shooting, I mean, Alabama's got a chance. Look, I'm not going to predict Alabama to win this game, but I'm not going to be one of those guys who would be surprised if Alabama did, because Alabama has the type of players, the type of system that could keep them in this game. And when you're in a game in the final few minutes, shoot, it's March Madness. Anything can happen.
Yeah, I agree. And Illinois was a good team, but I think Alabama has the players where they're not going to go down on a 30-0 run. Like you know, Illinois could not make a basket to save their life in that game. And they kept it close to halftime. I think it was like 27-23 at halftime or 28-23. So they were in it, and then they just could not come out of the locker room and got cold offensively. I think Alabama, if they do go cold, they're not going to go a long stretch like that. And it's not going to be like a 30-0 run. I think our defense has played a lot better. But I just think Alabama can stay in this game. And if, like you said, Stacey, if they stay in it, I think free throw is going to be crucial in this game too. We've got to make a free ones as well. And we have been consistently doing really good on that.
Yeah, that's going to be important too, Jake, like you said. But when I was watching that Illinois-UConn game, that the fact that Illinois just kept trying to get to the rim.
I know.
I mean, what's the point? I mean, if he's going to block your shot and not foul you, I say, like I said, that's why Reitzel's so important here, Jake. Yep. If he's in that game, Jake, you put Grant Nelson at the five. Now, you're going to hurt defensively because of this, because Nelson's an okay defender. But in the paint, but he's not the most physical guy down there. Right. He does okay, but so you will hurt a little bit defensively. But to me, I think you want to make this game as wide open as possible. Mm-hmm. You spread them out, neutralize their shot blocker's ability to block shots by making him leave the basket and leave the rim, and chase Grant Nelson, around the 3-point line. Spread them out, and if you make them shots, Jake, you never know what can happen. So I just think if a team's going to get UConn in the Final Four, it's going to be Alabama in the semifinals. But the truth is, UConn's tough, dude. They're really good. They're going to be tough to beat. But you know, Nate Oates and this team are playing different. They got something different about them right now. And I'm not going to bet against them. I'm not saying I'm betting for them to win, but I certainly wouldn't bet against him right now either.
It's going to be a fun game, Stacey. I'm really excited about the game. But I'm with you. If there's a team in the Final Four that has a chance, I really feel like it's Alabama, because they, like you said, they can space you out. And if Grant Nelson is in that five and he draws that center out to him on the 3-point line, then you maybe have a backdoor cutter that can go into, to do a layup and stuff. There's a lot of possibilities. And I Nate Oates and that coaching staff saw what Illinois is trying to do in their game, and they realized that, hey, we're not going to do that. This is our game plan. We're going to stick to the game plan, and we're just going to go out there and play ball, and we'll see what happens when the score is final.
Yeah, and as we wrap it up, Jake, I want to close by saying, regardless of what happens on Saturday night, I couldn't be more pleased with what this team has accomplished. because they're basically playing with house money now, Jake. They for what they have and all they've went through as far as the roster turnover, the coaching turnover, the fact that they're here in the Final Four, unbelievable. Just unbelievable.
It is, man. It's so exciting, you know, that we have a secondary sport we can cheer for, you know, like basketball. We always have, but this is exciting times right now. This is like we said earlier in the show, you know, we're no longer on bubble watch. We're not biting our nails and like, okay, we're going to be a 13 seed or a 15 seed. And, you know, it's nothing like that no more. This is a team that's probably going to be in the top five seeding wise from here on out, you know, for just with Nate Oates, and it's incredible. So enjoy it while we have it. I'm sure, you know, we're going to be there for a long time. Nate Oates will as well. So just enjoy it. I know I am.
No doubt about it. All right, guys. Hey, that's going to wrap the show up for today as we discuss Alabama's incredible NCAA tournament run by Coach Nate Oates and the Crimson Tide. Unbelievable job by those guys. Kudos to them. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the channel here on YouTube. Give us a like and a share. Jump in the comments and let us know your thoughts on today's show as well. Also free and available wherever you find your podcast, part of the Believe Network. But that's going to wrap it up, guys. We'll be back real soon. Cannot wait to talk about whatever happens in the Final Four. We'll be here to talk about that. And then spring football we're right in the middle of it as well. So we'll be talking about that here coming up shortly as well. But that's going to do it for today, guys. Thank you so much for watching. We'll be back real soon. But until then, roll tide.
Roll tide.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.